Just as long as you didn't do it, Nate said, and I almost laughed. Nate Hoppenstand, sitting there in his underpants and beanie, his child's chest narrow, hairless, and dusted with freckles. Nate, looking at me earnestly over his prominent case of slender ribs. Nate playing dad. Lowering his voice, he said, "Do you think Skip did it?" "No. If I had to guess who on this floor would think shave-creaming the proctor's door was a real hoot, I'd say, Ronnie Malenfant." "Right." I pointed my finger at Nate like a gun and winked. "I saw you walking back to Franklin with a blonde girl," he said. "Carol. She's pretty." "Just keeping her company," I said. Nate sat there in his underpants and his beanie, smiling as if he knew better. Perhaps he did. I liked her all right, although I didn't know much about her. Only that she was from Connecticut. Not many work-study kids came from out of state. I headed down the hall to the lounge, my geology book under my arm. Ronnie was there, wearing his beanie with the front pinned up so it looked sort of like a newspaper reporter's fedora. Sitting with him were two other guys from our floor, Hugh Brennan and Ashley Rice. None of them looked as if they were having the world's most exciting Saturday morning, but when Ronnie saw me, his eyes brightened. "Pete Riley," he said. "Just the man I was looking for. Do you know how to play hearts?" "Yes. Lucky for me, I also know how to study." I raised my geology book, already thinking that I'd probably end up in the second floor lounge. If that was, I really meant to get anything done. Because Ronnie never shut up, was apparently incapable of shutting up. Ronnie Malenfant was the original motor mouth. "Come on, just one game to 100, he wheedled. "We're playing Nicola Point, and these two guys play hearts like old people fuck." Hugh and Ashley grinned foolishly, as if they had just been complimented. Ronnie's insults were so raw and out front, so bulging with vitriol, that most guys took them as jokes, perhaps even as veiled compliments. They were neither. Ronnie meant every unkind word he ever said. "Ronnie, I got a quiz Tuesday, and I don't really understand this geosyncline stuff." "Shit on the geosyncline," Ronnie said, and Ashley Rice tittered. "You still got the rest of today, all of tomorrow, and all of Monday for the geo-fucking-syncline." "I have classes Monday, and tomorrow Skip and I were going to go up to Old Town. They're having an open hoot at the Methodist Church, and we..." "Stop it! Quit it! Spare my aching scrot, and don't talk to me about that folky shit. Michael can row his fucking boat right up my ass, okay? Listen, Pete." "Ronnie, I really..." "You two dimbulbs stay right the fuck there." Ronnie gave Ashley and Hugh a baleful look. Neither argued with him about it. They were probably 18 like the rest of us, but anyone who's ever been to college will tell you that some very young 18-year-olds show up each September, especially in the rural states. It was the young ones with whom Ronnie succeeded. They were in awe of him. He borrowed their meal tickets, snapped them with towels in the shower, accused them of supporting the goals of the Reverend Martin Luther Kuhn, who, Ronnie would tell you, drove to protest rallies in his Jaguar, borrowed their money, and would respond to any request for a match with, "My ass in your face, monkey meat." They loved Ronnie in spite of it all. Because of it all. They loved him because he was just so college.